This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. As we begin the final hour of today's show, we have one more hour to go, and then Sports Talk will take over with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Himes alongside Heather Harrington and Joel Silverberg. I'm Josh Ward, and we are pleased to begin this hour welcoming to the show David Cobb, who covers college football, college sports for CBSSports.com. He joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. David, we appreciate the time. It's been a newsworthy week with media days going on and then all of a sudden this Texas-Oklahoma conversation. Why would you say this is happening? Why are we looking at Texas and Oklahoma about to join the SEC, it appears?
Yeah, hey guys, thanks for having me. It's money, you know. It's kind of what it has always come down to in college sports and college athletics. And it just adds, you know, you're right, it's been a newsworthy week. I would say it's been a newsworthy offseason and a newsworthy 18 months.
Yes.
I started at CBS covering college sports about a year and a half ago, and it's been nonstop ever since because that was right around the time that COVID started impacting everything, and obviously it's just been nonstop ever since then. So things all culminating this week, and it's interesting because realignment, you know, and the possibility of it drops during the middle of SEC media days. And in some ways distracts from the myriad of other newsworthy topics and developments in college sports. There's just so much going on right now, and it's fun. You know, we're still over a month away from football being played, and there's no end to the things to unpack and dive into. And so ultimately, I think it's money. Why Texas and Oklahoma are, you know, looking at this. It's no secret that the TV rights that the SEC will be generating, the revenue from that, it's going to be astronomical and surpass that of any other league. And so Texas and Oklahoma can come and bring even more value to that, you know, for the SEC and increase the amount of payout to each school in the conference because they're going to add so much value. And on the flip side, obviously, you know, Texas and Oklahoma, they'll have value added to their pockets by playing against Florida, Georgia, Alabama, LSU, Tennessee, et cetera, you know, versus beating up on a whole bunch of schools that are already within their own states and, you know, who aren't really going to garner the amount of TV money that those SEC programs would.
David, is this good for the current members of the SEC, this move to absorb Oklahoma and Texas into the conference?
Well, clearly the presidents must think it is. I mean, there's a report from Kirk Bowles of the Austin American Statesman, you know, within the last hour saying it's going to be all but Texas A&M voting in favor of this. And so from a presidential standpoint, or a chancellor standpoint, I suppose so, because of, again, money. But from a competitive standpoint, I'm not totally sold on that. I mean, if you're Tennessee and Josh Heupel, obviously you're a competitor, and it's fun to you know, have Texas or Oklahoma coming into Neyland Stadium. I mean, we've already seen, you know, how lit the environment was a few years back when Baker Mayfield brought Oklahoma into Neyland, and those types of matchups are exciting. But if you're a Tennessee or a Mississippi State or an Arkansas and you're trying to get traction in this conference, I mean, my goodness, or heaven forbid, Vanderbilt. I mean, bless Clark Lee's heart, man. He comes into the conference just as they're about to add two more juggernauts. I mean, give me a break. So I think it makes it obviously just that much tougher. And then also Texas and Oklahoma. I mean, Oklahoma is already doing pretty well at making it to the college football playoff out of the Big 12 right now with a 4-team playoff. You know, if the playoff expands to 12, they were going to be able to sleepwalk through the Big 12 and make it to the playoff. Texas probably as well at some point, you know, maybe every other year at their current clip, being a playoff caliber team in a 12-team format out of that league. Now you're coming into the SEC, and even a really, really good Oklahoma team could go through an SEC of this caliber and end up with three losses. And does a three-loss SEC team make a 12-team playoff? I don't know. Those are going to be the types of teams that end up on the bubble. And there's going to be a lot more bubble talk. And I'm sure the SEC will have more teams in a 12-team playoff than any other league. But I bet there will be some really good SEC teams that end up on the outside looking in as well.
We're talking to David Cobb, CBSSports.com. And David, as you know well, you've covered Tennessee yourself. It's a program where it's first-year coach Josh Heupel. Tennessee is among those programs trying to get back. Where do you see Tennessee football right now? what do you see over the next few years and factor in this expansion talk however you think you should?
Yeah, I mean, the SEC is about to become, with the addition of Heupel, you know, potentially with the addition of Steve Sarkisian and Lincoln Riley, I mean, it is going to be the premier conference in football, period. I mean, you know, there's going to be more yards per game, quarterbacks with more touchdown passes than NFL quarterbacks who are playing 17 or 18 games a year, you know. So it's going to be an offensive juggernaut, and Tennessee fits in well in that regard with, you know, Josh Heupel's scheme and system. I mean, we'll see that it's no secret that defense is not really Josh Heupel's strong suit at, you know, it certainly was not at UCF. So there will be some challenges there, but I see it being, you know, even just adding to what we already expected to be an exciting brand of football under Josh Heupel, just from an offensive standpoint. So, yeah, I mean, I think offensively they'll be well equipped to keep pace in what will be an increasingly offensive oriented, you know, conference. I'm thinking a few years down the line. He's got a long way to go. I mean, it's no secret that defense is decimated by transfers, and you know, it's going to be a tough year, I think, even with a relatively manageable schedule to reach bowl eligibility just due to some of those defensive issues. But, you know, I thought Heupel was fine at SEC Media Days. I thought he projected an aura of confidence that I wasn't totally sure he would have in that setting. And, you know, I think we'll see, but I think they're well positioned to compete offensively, you know, in this new SEC.
Do you think that's going to be the attention grabber, especially when recruits are paying attention to Tennessee and trying to open up some of those conversation lines to get more of the blue chippers back to Tennessee? Is it going to all rely on this offense being splashy and flashy and looking like it's really fun to play in?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, there's some good young receivers on the Tennessee roster. You know, and if Josh Heupel can get a couple of those guys to the league here in the next couple of years, it's a pretty nice feather in his cap to have. And then, you know, look, defensively, I think the SEC is going to continue to be a wide receiver factory. I mean, that's kind of the premium position in football at the moment. You know, you see a receiver win the Heisman Trophy for the first time in quite a while this past season out of Alabama. And the NFL obviously putting a real premium on that position as well. And it gives you a tool to recruit with on the defensive side of the ball and say, hey, you know what? You want to guard the best receivers in the country and prove that you're ready to go to the NFL. Come here and play corner for us. Come here and play safety for us. You know, I don't know, obviously, you know, how that pitch is going to play out at Tennessee where, you know, as a defense, you can end up on the field for 38 or 40 minutes of a game in Heupel's system because of how quickly your offense operates. But yeah, I think it would do is strengthen the SEC and strengthen the attractiveness of it as the conference where you want to play football. I mean, you're talking about every week playing in one of the premier venues in all of football, you know, and that was already the case. It'll just be the case even more so, you know, if these teams join the mix.
We're talking to David Cobb, CBSSports.com. Media Days have been going on with a number of different conferences. Expansion talk took over. But, David, I saw you share some comments from Pat Fitzgerald at Northwestern that I thought were interesting. What is scholarship and roster makeup going to look like in the offseason moving forward, as now the transfer portal is a big part of it, but you still have the same 85 a year and 25 in the offseason signing limits to deal with? Are we going to see change there as the way coaches are bringing players to campus is changing?
I think it's inevitable. I just think the question is who's going to spearhead that charge, because we're looking at an NCAA that has been rendered toothless, you know, almost entirely, and feels like it's almost on the brink of extinction at this point. I mean, it's pretty well established that at this point their only value is hosting a basketball tournament, you know, every March. So who's going to step in to legislate those changes that need to be made? And what we're talking about is if you have, you know, 10, 12 players transfer out, maybe like a Tennessee had this offseason, you're still capped at only adding 25 players per class, and that includes transfers you bring in regardless of how many left. And so coaches think that needs to change, and I tend to agree with them. And what I thought was really impactful about what Pat Fitzgerald said was he didn't just outright advocate for carte blanche, you know, let us add as many transfers as we want on scholarship within 85, he was pretty adamant about, hey, if you run a guy off, then that player should be able to go online on the transfer portal website maybe and check a box and say, hey, I was forced to leave. And in that circumstance, perhaps the program wouldn't be allowed to replace that scholarship. And I think that's wonderful for college athletics, because even in the player empowerment era where guys can benefit off their name, image, and likeness, we know that's not going to be everyone. And so if you're a player who earns a college scholarship and then all of a sudden a new coach comes in and says, oh, you don't fit what I do and I'm going to run you off, we know there's a lot of players in the transfer portal who end up there because they were encouraged to go there and they end up with nowhere to go. And so I don't think you should be rewarded as a coach for running a player off and get to replace that scholarship. And so he hit that nuance when he was talking on the Big Ten Network the other day. And it might take somebody like him to kind of be the voice to make something like this come together, because if you give these top programs or these more ruthless coaches, the pen to write these new rules, they're going to write them to their advantage. And I think there needs to be some sense of care, for the athletes here, because I think if you earn an athletic scholarship, you should have the right to, remain enrolled and complete your degree on that scholarship, even if a new coach comes in and tries to force you out.
Yeah, maybe with all the money they're going to be making from expansion, those scholarships have to get honored. Yeah, I think you're just onto something there. That's very interesting.
Yeah. It's one of those conversations, though, that has been pushed kind of to the background this week. And one of those things that coaches are thinking about a lot, but that, definitely aren't on the tip of the tongue for every media member out there who's trying to get to the bottom of some other issues around the sport right now. But, it's going to take leadership to get that done. And who are the leaders in college sports right now? I don't know. And that seems to be up for interpretation.
The content meters are pegging this week with all that's been going on. David, what do you recommend people check out if they go see CBSSports.com?
So we started a live blog that we're all kind of contributing to with the latest updates from, the ongoing saga, where it's just about every hour, a new piece of information comes out about how quickly this conference realignment may start. And so, if you just pull up CBSSports.com right now, it's somewhere there on the homepage. And that's in addition to just the run-of-the-mill coverage from media days that we've got, because, guys, there's actually going to be football here in about a month. And so there's been plenty of content in that realm as well. So I've got a couple of Big Ten articles and we've covered ACC, Big 12 and SEC media days as well.
It's all there. CBSSports.com. David, it's great to talk to you. Thanks for taking some time to join us here today. And hopefully we can talk to you again soon.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks.
Thanks, David. David Cobb of CBS Sports joining us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline.
Covering it all, and man, it's not going to slow down. And he's absolutely right. We said it earlier in the show. It's been 18 months of just nonstop. I think people got bored during COVID. Like Greg Sankey running his 3 miles a day, it wasn't enough to satiate whatever the burning desires he had. And so then they want to go and change literally everything that we know about the current landscape of college football and college sports.
How you holding up over there?
I'm glad it's Friday. Super glad it's Friday.
All right, we'll come back. We have another 45 minutes of our Friday here on Sports 180. Sports Talk will take over at 3 o'clock. You can join us at 656-9900 right here on 99.1, the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. Russell asks, are Mike Gundy and Matt Campbell regretting not making a jump now? They can make a jump anytime if they want to. Gundy's at his alma mater. What happens with Oklahoma State? That's a big question here. It's one of the more valuable names. Maybe it's the third most in the Big 12. I don't know how that's going to work out. But what happens with Oklahoma State's a big question. And Iowa State, all the best, I would say, to the Cyclones. But I mean, I don't.
But Matt Campbell's such a hot commodity.
Yeah, I don't expect him to be a lifer.
Yeah, exactly. Like he's going to have more. He's going to have more opportunities if the Big 12 does dissolve and whatever happens with these member institutions. You just go play your schedule. People want Matt Campbell. Maybe you don't stick around as long as you were intending to at Iowa State. We'll see with Gundy. He seems like he's really happy there. So
Mullet's gone.
Yeah, they're not going to pay him less.
Right. Yeah.
So I mean,
remember that with some of these decision makers or people in higher levels, those contracts are still what they are. How about this from Bruce Feldman of The Athletic? During the Big 12 leadership call yesterday, that was a call that included 8 of the 10 member institutions, those two that weren't there, Oklahoma and Texas, of course, reaching out to the Pac-12 about a potential 20-school merger was discussed.
Did I read? I don't think I did online or on the air, but the Pac-12 commissioner, who is new, George Klivakoff, him taking over this year, he says, "I consider the Pac-12 an exclusive club with a high barrier to entry." He says, "We're not actively seeking to poach any teams from any conference, but we'd be foolish not to listen if schools call us."
See what happens there. A 20 team. So the Pac-20, what do you think?
The Pac-20. Sure. Yeah. Stanford, Oklahoma State. Bring it on. Iowa State. I mean, just
the tradition.
The tradition, unlike no other. Just think of the irony, too. We were talking about how now conference names just absolutely don't apply to the conference landscape. The fact that, you know, Oklahoma would be in a Pac-12, Oklahoma State would be in a Pac-12, there's legit, like, no bodies of water. Maybe some lakes.
I mean, there's some water. But not the vast ocean, perhaps.
Yeah, not the Pacific.
Yeah, good stuff, college athletics. Let's get Bill's
but
call.
More money. More money.
That's right, it's coming. Bill, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. What's on your mind today?
Hey, guys. Good to talk to you. I have a question on scholarships. Given that scholarship rosters are maxed out at 85, if you use, let's say, Alabama's number 2 millionaire, Bryce Young, as an example, if he pays his own tuition, does that free up a scholarship?
Well,
and while you're thinking about that, what if Bryce decides to take some of his monies and pay tuitions for other guys? Does that free up scholarships?
You know, I've not heard that addressed in terms of exactly what the rules are. We know that the schools are not supposed to be paying. What you're talking about is if he really is paid $1 million in endorsements and he decided to use that money to pay for some of the scholarships. I don't know exactly how that would work out. My guess is that would absolutely not happen.
Yeah, I would advise him against it.
He's going to tell Alabama, "You're going to pay my scholarship."
It'll probably be a lot of paperwork to fill out, too.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to occur, because they're, like, the coaches want every dime that they can get. The players are going to want every dime that they can get, and they're probably not going to give back, nor should they. I would not consider it if I were the player.
Okay, just thinking.
Yeah, Bill, thanks for the call.
Right.
Yeah, I'm gonna go in the this is my money.
Yeah,
I've earned it, and I'm going to.
The guy who's proven he's worth that amount of money is probably not going to say, "But I don't expect the school, which is making $50, $60, $70 million more, I'm going to give you back the money." I don't think that's going to play out.
No, no. And like you said, nor should it.
Yeah, I remember when Eric Berry went to the NFL and he got a big contract and we received calls. So will he cover the cost of Evan and Elliott? He could. He absolutely should not, and he definitely will not, because Tennessee can pay that.
Y'all really took a call like that?
Multiple.
Oh.
We've taken calls. This is still a rare opinion, but we've taken calls in the past of, and I don't mean this as a knock on Bill, because I'm sure a lot of people are wondering, "Hey, could this happen?" Bill's wondering from a competitive standpoint. But we've taken calls that if a player leaves early, he should have to pay back his scholarship. That makes zero sense. Why would you pay back?
Oh, for like the one and dones in basketball? Give me your money back, Keon Johnson? No.
Yeah. I don't think so.
I think it was a great, what is out-of-state tuition now? $30,000, something like that? It was a great $30,000 investment, especially if it keeps paving the way for more blue-chip basketball recruits to come to the University of Tennessee, because they keep getting drafted high.
Yeah. Yeah, to be clear, Rick Barnes does not think that Keon Johnson should give back the scholarship money, nor will he expect that from Kennedy Chandler.
I'd love to see Jalen Hurd's reaction to somebody telling him, "Hey, you should give your scholarship money back to Tennessee now that you're in the NFL. I don't think he actually should. I just want to see the look on his face when someone does.
Yeah, so that's, I don't know what I'd have to think about my favorite ideas, but the pay back the scholarship money if you go pro early, That's gonna compete for the number one spot.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it also, so that means rich kids, like people that are from wealthy families, they don't deserve scholarships because they could easily pay for their education. I mean, come on. What are we talking about here?
Of course they don't. Yeah, I don't know. Bryce Young is going to get a scholarship.
Yeah. And he should. He's like a Billy Badeck. I mean, he's already in the top five conversation. He hasn't even played a game yet for quarterbacks in the SEC.
Yep.
So, yeah. What a weird time.
It is pretty weird.
But do you agree with me that people just got bored during COVID and were like, hey, what can we do? Like, I'm not doing anything. Hey, you want to talk about some expansion? Come on over.
Well, in all seriousness, the COVID, the last year, last 18 months affected schools' finances, right?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure it allowed for some thinking of what do we do
to
maximize our revenue in the future. And Oklahoma and Texas looked at their current situation in the Big 12 and said, this is not that. So, you know, that's the other thing with the SEC, which I guess we can hit on in the next segment. But Oklahoma and Texas are probably saying, we're going somewhere. Do you want it to be with you or do you want it to be with someone else?
Mm-hmm.
And to the SEC, someone else doesn't make a lot of sense. Coming to join us makes more sense.
Yeah, like if it's done, you guys are legit leaving, then yeah, we want you here because we don't want you part of the Big Ten. I don't think they worry. Like, I really don't think the SEC bats an eye if Texas and Oklahoma are going to the Pac-12. I don't think they care.
No, I don't. Well, I wouldn't say it that way. I would say that they would just look at it and said, man, we could have had that. Not like it's that is any threat to us.
Mm-hmm.
But if somebody else has something that you want, go take it.
It's just going to become really hateful, isn't it?
In college sports? No, I don't think so. We'll come back with another 30 minutes of Sports 180. Joel Silverberg has a midday sports minute for you on the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. We will hit a pop-up fact before the segment ends. We'll continue to welcome your thoughts, 656-9900. Don't forget the Volunteers in action, 7 o'clock tonight, ESPN. Look forward to seeing the team coached by Ron Slay with a number of former Tennessee basketball players. Chris Lofton will be playing in the game. Cam Tatum, Wayne Chisholm, Duke Cruz, Skylar McBee, Juwan Smith are some of the former Tennessee players. It's almost an all-Tennessee alumni team. There are a few guys that didn't play at Tennessee. My guess is they needed to fill a few spots, have mm-hmm. enough for the game because or for the run in the tournament because they had a few guys that had signed up to play that were unable to. But you're going to know those guys, and you'll see number 5 in orange tonight in the basketball tournament. It's single elimination. The team that wins it all wins $1 million.
Cannot wait. It's going to be so exciting, and good luck to the Volunteers.
Oddsmakers have it as a pick going in. Ooh. It's a toss-up in the 8-9 matchup with Tennessee versus Purdue.
I went with my key to the game, rebounding and threes, and yours was Lofton.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah, Chris Lofton. I think he's going to be very important.
There's a reason why Giannis was the key for the Milwaukee Bucks. There's a reason why Chris Lofton is the key for the Volunteers.
Yeah, it'll be more than that, but we don't have to overthink sports all the time. Let's get Don's call on Sports 180. Hey, Don, thanks for calling in. What are your thoughts as the expansion talk has taken over this week in college athletics?
Hey, guys. Enjoy the show.
Thank you.
It was amazing. In all the expansion talks, and especially with what Dabble said the other day, that nobody's going to expand into the ACC. Everybody wants to come to the SEC, and then with the Pac-12 talking to go to the Pac-20, Dabo just doesn't seem to have the pull.
Yeah, I don't know that I've seen what Dabo said about expansion.
Well, no, he didn't say about expansion, except for with the
The playoff. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
He's against expansion of the playoff.
I'm sorry. Conference expansion. I've moved on to my different expansions. Yeah, the 12-team playoff. Yeah, being against that for sure. Which I'm not. There are mixed opinions on that. Mac Brown has said that his players at North Carolina are against it. I don't look at the 12-team playoff as one that's going to allow 12 teams to win the title. I don't think in most seasons 4 teams can win the championship. I look at it as it'll freshen up some of the conversation with the college football playoff going to 12 teams, not really give 12 teams a chance to win at all.
Yeah, I agree. It's just that nobody's jumping ship to go to the ACC. I guess there's just not the competition there.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think there's definitely a pecking order, and the ACC just isn't on top of the most powerful conferences. And a lot of that has to do with money. You can look at payouts per member institution, and the Big Ten and the SEC lead the way. And I think that's why schools like a Texas and Oklahoma want to join the SEC, and I'm sure the Big Ten would also be a viable option. We did have West Virginia reaching out right to the ACC, and that they might want to join.
There's just been rumors. That's been a rumored conversation, that could happen. Yeah. I've not seen it reported that it has.
So you might see some lesser properties, which, I mean, West Virginia's not, and that's no shade at them, because, I mean, if you've listened to this show today, we're worried about where we stand on the totem pole at this point in time in the expansion conversation. So, it's just the haves are going to get their first choice, and then everybody else is going to be pecking at the scraps.
Yeah, often we talk about things being equal or fair in college athletics. Never have been, and this week is a reminder they never will be.
Yeah. I just, at some point in time, and I think you would agree with this, the gap is growing just big time for a handful of schools. So, look at the situation Auburn has been in, and Auburn has actually competed for national titles in recent history, right? But what happens when the gap, they're not able to overcome, the just how wide everything has gotten.
And what gap are you talking about? Auburn versus,
Ohio State, Alabama, Georgia, Clemson. You could probably put Oklahoma in that conversation. We'll see what happens with Texas. They're trying. They're not there yet. Mm-hmm. Auburn is what I would say on the second tier of college football. What happens when getting to the first tier is no longer an option? Like, it's just impossible, because that could happen. If these schools keep getting richer and richer and richer, how will you ever keep up? Because it's not just about money.
Yeah. With Auburn, like, over the next 10 years, if they have the right coach, you don't think they can still go win a national title?
I don't know.
Like, My issue would be, I'm not sure Brian Harsin's going to be that guy for them. Not that Auburn can't do it. So I don't know that I look at the gap being that much greater. They're just not in the best spot. They had to fire their coach. They chose to, at least. They didn't have to. But it was just a few years ago they won the West, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't looked at Auburn as tier one, like it when Florida State was the best, or Tennessee was where it was in the late 90s. And Auburn's dealt with its NCAA issues, I know, but I look at Auburn as a team that's a really solid program, and when they're at their best, they can rise up and compete for it all. And I still think that can happen. But like, I'd be really surprised if Auburn's not one of the teams we see make the 12-team playoff from time to time. I would think they will.
Okay.
Do they drop in the SEC pecking order? Yeah, I suppose so. But in terms of what their potential is as a program, I don't think it changes that much. Maybe I'm wrong, but I think it's more about, do they have the right coach?
Yeah.
Like if Lincoln Riley went to Auburn tomorrow, I would say watch out for Auburn. And I think Auburn should be a program that would still have the financial resources to be able to do something like that. They still have a, and I say this totally as a compliment, they have a crazy passionate fan base. And as long as that's happening and the money's there and they can recruit, I think they'll be okay. So that's not one that I'm worried about.
Okay. Because I kind of was. I mean, I made a list of the teams that I would worry about ever reaching back up to a championship contender. And I had Auburn, Ole Miss. Kentucky's never been on as a championship contender, but they're feeling really good about themselves. So I think that adding Texas and Oklahoma into the mix hurts them. It hurts the vibe that they're feeling. Tennessee, South Carolina, Mississippi State, Arkansas. So I understand that not all of those teams
have
ever competed for championships, but it also
was Tennessee's really the only one on that list that we would have said that before this, right? Like who else on that list has been a real championship contender?
Well, Auburn. I had them on.
Oh, okay.
But that's okay. Just those two.
Auburn and Tennessee. Mm-hmm.
So it's just, okay, and enjoy winning your 9 games once every 5 years, and here's a $20 million extra check.
Yeah,
I just don't know what to do with expectations at this point.
Yeah, I think a lot of your concern is really just Tennessee, which is warranted. It's gonna be hard for the Vols in football.
Yeah.
I don't think this in other sports. Yeah. I don't think this hurts Tennessee basketball. I don't
really
think this hurts Tennessee baseball.
Tennessee basketball to go to a Final Four. Like, hate to tighten the screws there, yeah, Rick, but gonna need something to prop up the conversation. Yeah. And that would do a nice job.
I don't want to be a person who points fingers. Okay, so I'll just keep my hand down and say this is Joel's fault. It's the Vanderbilt stat that he gave earlier. That's really what set everything off. It's Joel's fault.
Yeah, yeah. And I just, you know, obviously I'm a Texan. I know what it's like to grow up in Texas. I know what it's like to want to go to Texas and that not work out. Man, the arrogance that they are about to bring into the SEC.
Oh, yeah.
It's like next level. People are legit. Just get ready. You're just going to hate a lot.
Well, there you go. So freshen up the who you hate list. That's good. And what's the point of hating Alabama right now for Tennessee fans? Hey, Texas, you got the UT versus UT battle. So, Joel, Saturday Sports Talk, 8 to 12 tomorrow. You'll have a lot of this and a lot of media day reaction.
I guess I'm going to spend 4 hours apologizing. Yeah. For apparently, I don't think it's my fault. I think it's Richard's fault.
I put a curse on UT football.
We'll have a ton of SEC media days coverage. We'll get a little bit into the Olympics, but mainly SEC media days. Apparently, a story from Eric Kane. He got big time by Mike Leach. Said Mike Leach ghosted him. So I'm really curious to see what the story is here. So I'm excited to hear that, all of that and more, with tons of content from the past week coming up on Saturday Sports Talk from 8 to noon.
He had to go talk UFOs with SiriusXM. Like, sorry, it's a partner, corporate partner.
Quick
had
plug.
To go talk UFOs.
Quick plug. I was on the Lamestream podcast with Braden Gall and Stephen Cavendish. Had a really good time. Go check it out. Download. But that was one story I should have told and I forgot. We were talking about the expansion into all sports here on the Sports Animal close to 15 years ago, a little more than that now. And I should have told the story of Richard and his curse on Tennessee football.
You definitely should have.
Which really, I guess, makes it somewhat my fault.
It was a big deal. Well, it definitely was your fault because you're the only original member of the show that was created that got Jim Rome off the air, which caused Richard to curse Tennessee football.
They will lose forever.
It's 13 years ago.
Man,
so not John Pennington's fault, not Mickey's fault. It's Josh's fault.
Yeah, it's Josh's fault. Last man standing. Hey. Somebody's got to hold the blame of torch.
Yep.
Or the torch of blame. Yeah, that's you. And if anybody knows Richard, you tell him I'm looking for him.
Oh, that's not a bad. I saw those eyes right there. That's not a battle Richard wants. I'll tell you that much. He'll call it off. We'll come back for the final segment. A very important event in the Olympics. 25 years ago, Heather. 25 years ago today. We'll tell you about that with the pop-up fact, power poll, and then sports talk here on the Sports Animal. This is Sports 180. Thank you for being with us. Expansion talk. And, I'd forgotten there's playoff expansion talk, and then there's expansion realignment talk with conferences. Taking away from Olympic talk, Heather, we have the Olympics that are underway, had the Olympic ceremony, and our pop-up fact today, we can dive right in. 25 years ago today, Carrie Strug cemented her legacy as an Olympic hero. She had the injured ankle. They needed the vault, or at least thought they needed that second vault from her. She stuck the landing. She was then carried off, and she was a hero forever, helping the U.S. win gold.
An absolute iconic moment. I still just cannot believe those Olympics were 25 years ago because I remember them so vividly in my mind. I just don't think I will ever forget Carrie Strug or Dominic Muciano, Dominic Dawes. Like, I will just never forget their names. I remember all of them because it was just like that time in your life where you're watching something so iconic and you remember every little detail about it. But yeah, just absolutely incredible. And we're getting old, so there you go. And that's also why I'm against expansion talk, because I do feel like I'm saying to all the kids, get off my lawn today. I just am so against it.
Yep, so that was 25 years ago today, the landing by Carrie Strug and the gold medal. In 25 years, we'll be talking about, I actually remember a 12-team SEC, then 14 teams. The numbers have gotten so confusing. I think off the air earlier today, I forgot how many are currently in the league and how many there used to be. So, good times. Our pop-up fact every day, it is presented by Burton McKinnish Law.
Burton McKinnish Law, with offices in Maryville, Sevierville, Western North Carolina, or Southeastern Kentucky. If you have a case or legal troubles, they can help. Trust Burton McKinnish Law. Visit burtonmckinnish.com.
The intelligence of the show expands as we welcome to the show John Wilkerson, who's getting ready for Sports Talk in just a few minutes. John, hello.
How are you? I sure do appreciate it.
Quite a week it has been.
That's putting it mildly. And who knows what we'll be treated to over the course of the weekend. I mean, you've got so much that has gone on, and there's still a lot of stuff that's percolating.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's going to be very reflective in my power poll today of what to watch this weekend.
Yep. And we are getting ready for Sports Talk. We're running out of time here in the show, so we will dive right in with today's power poll. All righty, John Wilkerson, the weekend is upon us. Five things to watch this upcoming weekend. Would you like to lead us off?
Why, sure. And at number five, very generic, but I'm going to say just watch for news. Major League Baseball approaching the trade deadline, NFL approaching training camp, and, of course, college football is never that far from the headline. So just watch for news, especially in those three areas. At number four, a little bit, I think, of a series under the radar. That'll be the White Sox and Milwaukee in Major League Baseball. Number three, I'm plugging in, penciling in the Volunteers, because I'm, like you guys, so excited to watch how that plays out starting tonight. And then at number two, Red Sox Yankees, just watching some of the back and forth from Yankee fans last night telling the Red Sox the win didn't count because they beat a Triple-A team. Oh, so different from what I'm used to. And number one, Olympics. The Olympics.
All righty. Heather Harrington, your top five things to watch this weekend.
All right. Shouts to all you people with Apple Plus, because coming in at number five, Ted Lasso. First episode dropped today, so everybody enjoy that. On number four, Novak Djokovic, he's going to start his quest for Olympic gold tonight. I think it's like at 8 p.m. It might be a little after that, but watch out for some Olympic tennis. Number three, beach volleyball starts tonight, men and women. So you can enjoy some Summer Olympic beach volleyball. I know I love watching it. Number two is going to be college football news, because it's going to come out. I mean, we're going to have to be paying attention to this all weekend long. And number one, go Volunteers. I'm putting them at the number one spot. Get a little Elam ending, get a little CeeLo and some orange. I'm here for it. 7 o'clock.
Yeah. Put some pressure on Coach Ron Slay. Let's see what he can get done as they'll play 7 o'clock on ESPN. My list, I'll put honorable mention, or maybe it's dishonorable mention if you're already tired of it, but all the news that John's right, it's going to be coming. College football, there's going to be a lot of, look for the politicians' tweets. They're coming out as well. We're going to have a busy 48, 72 hours before we're back on air. Number five, Yankees, Red Sox. Number four, U.S. versus France in men's basketball. Hopefully those exhibition losses were taken care of so you can get the wins with the real games. Women's national team, they need a win tomorrow. So 7:30, I believe, the start time there. Ted Lasso, number two, and the Volunteers. I'll put them number one as well. Ted Lasso quote, my favorite from season one. Taking on a challenge is a lot like riding a horse. If you're comfortable while you're doing it, you're probably doing it wrong.
I like that. I like that.
There you go. Maybe apply it to conference or playoff or something else expansion. That is the Power Poll. What to watch this upcoming weekend.